The Northeast blizzard.
It's not too bad. Been a little bit overblown.
Travel grinds to a halt.
Not a soul on these snowy white roadways here.
Three Russians charged with spying.
Who could face up to 15 years in prison.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. It may not be one for the history books, but the big Northeast winter storm left a deep blanket of snow and brought travel to a standstill. Blizzard warnings are being lifted in some states now, as are many travel bans. New York lifted its ban for the city and most suburbs. New Jersey, too. A little more than 6 inches on the ground in New York City, around a foot in parts of Long Island, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. Some stranded at home are making the best of it.
Thought it would be fun to be snowed in and build some snowmen.
Our coverage begins with CBS's Don Daler in Times Square.
This storm dumped about a quarter of what meteorologists had predicted. But even that was enough to bring the city that never sleeps to a standstill.
For everyday New Yorkers, it's pretty clear this is not business as usual.
On Monday night, state officials issued a travel ban, shutting down subway and commuter train services, telling people to stay off the roads to make way for plows and emergency crews.
I'm Heather Bosch on Long Island. At least a foot of snow where I am. Further east on the island, more than 18 inches. It's eerily quiet, except for the occasional guy who's trying to keep the sidewalks clear so you can at least walk.
Hopefully to see a path eventually, you know?
Tough to make progress, though, when it's still snowing.
Every time we do it, it's coming down harder and harder, so.
Snow's accumulating in Boston, too. CBS's Anna Warner is there.
An army of 2,000 plows outnumbered cars on the streets in parts of Boston, desperately trying to keep pace with the fast-falling snow. At times, pounding the city at a rate of 2 to 3 inches an hour.
The visibility's getting a little bad.
In the coastal town of Scituate, where high tides are creating the threat of flooding, officials protectively shut off power to 200 homes, hoping to prevent electrical fires.
There have been some scattered power outages. Strong winds have brought down trees and lines in some places. This woman lives outside Boston.
We got some extra firewood, just in case the power goes out, because that power always goes out.
Close to 5,000 flights have been canceled today. Major airports in the Northeast are quiet. CBS News travel editor Peter Greenberg says airlines acted ahead of the storm.
They're doing preemptive cancellations across the board. They've learned their lessons from previous storms, and they're not even attempting to try to maintain their schedule. So the simple reason that if they did, they'd end up with their planes out of schedule, their crews out of sequence.
Boston's Logan Airport doesn't plan to resume operations till tomorrow. Overseas, Indonesia's military, after 4 days of trying, has given up on efforts to raise the fuselage of the AirAsia plane that crashed in the Java Sea. Reporter Jack Hewson in Jakarta.
They have the black boxes. The majority of the plane doesn't contain the majority of the victims. So where to go from here is difficult.
A rescue agency says it will continue efforts to find bodies. 92 are still missing. Shades of the Cold War, as three Russian citizens have been charged with running a spy operation in this country that used code and concealed messages. CBS's Jeff Pagaz has more.
Prosecutors say this Russian spy ring had been operating since 2012 in New York City. The FBI used informants, wiretaps, and hidden cameras to build their case and finally arrest 39-year-old Yevgeny Buryakov. Investigators say Buryakov and two other Russian operatives attempted to recruit New Yorkers to be Russian intelligence sources as they tried to gather U.S. government documents to help the Russian government collect information about potential U.S. economic sanctions against Russian banks.
Sentencing is set for April, and there could be an appeal of an ex-CIA officer's conviction in Virginia yesterday. Jeffrey Sterling, convicted of leaking details about a CIA mission to derail Iran's nuclear program. At the center of the case was a prolonged and failed effort to get James Rison of the New York Times to divulge his sources in the story he wrote. Fidel Castro has been noticeably silent about the efforts to restore relations between Cuba and the United States until now. CBS's Portia Siegelbaum in Havana says he's fine with it all, but distrusts Washington.
He says that President Raul Castro is not acting on his own, that he's acting in accordance with the powers given him by the Cuban parliament and the Communist Party of Cuba. So Fidel Castro is throwing the weight of the two ruling institutions in Cuba behind the steps that Raul Castro has taken.
A lack of comment for weeks had only fueled speculation about the 88-year-old Fidel Castro's health. President Obama's overseas. White House correspondent Major Garrett on his stop in India.
President Obama stitched together histories of India's independence maker Mahatma Gandhi and U.S. civil rights icon Martin Luther King Jr. as he wound up a three-day visit to a country where peaceful, nonviolent protests toppled the British Empire.
Those two great souls are why we can gather here today, Indians and Americans, equal and free.
President Obama and the First Lady left New Delhi for Saudi Arabia to lead a powerhouse delegation of current and former foreign policy heavyweights to pay respect to King Salman following the death last week of longtime U.S. ally King Abdullah. Major Garrett, CBS News, New Delhi.
Today in Poland, a mass to mark the 70th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, the notorious Nazi death camp. Holocaust survivors among those taking part in a ceremony today. The Soviets opened the doors to Auschwitz back in 1945. Russian President Putin was not invited to today's events. 5 days before the NFL's big moment, the Super Bowl in Arizona, there's still plenty of talk about deflated footballs. CBS's Steve Futterman is covering.
The controversy involving the footballs used in the AFC Championship game is not going away. And just hours after the New England Patriots arrived here for the Super Bowl, New England owner Robert Kraft went on the offensive, saying his team is not guilty.
I believe unconditionally that the New England Patriots have done nothing inappropriate.
And Kraft said if the ongoing investigation fails to come up with evidence against his team, he wants an apology from the league. Steve Futterman, CBS News at the Super Bowl in Phoenix.
Instagram and Facebook were down for about 40 minutes overnight in the U.S. and some other countries. Facebook says technical changes were the reason it was not a cyber attack. Car insurance is a costly necessity for drivers. CBS's Jim Taylor tells us a new study looks at what happens when we use it.
File just one claim, your rates will go up, on average, 41%. File another, and we're talking about a rate increase of 93%. This kind of thing leaves a lot of us feeling a little disillusioned.
This is something that a lot of people find difficult to accept because it's sort of like, well, why do I have insurance if I'm going to be penalized for using it?
Laura Adams, insurancequotes.com, as she says, it pays not to be the one at fault.
In most cases, if you're in an accident where you're not at fault, you won't see your rate increase.
In Massachusetts, rates up the most, the least in Maryland. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
A helium-filled balloon carrying an American and a Russian has now passed the halfway mark of its journey across the Pacific Ocean. They're trying to break two major ballooning records, a distance record and flight duration mark. That's the roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.